Welcome to Audit IQ Update for July 22nd, 2026. I'm your host, Alex, and as always, we'll be delving into the world of monitoring for e-commerce merchants, covering every aspect from technical, operational to sales and more. Let's get into it. It's been a packed 7 days in e-commerce, and today we've got a lot of ground to cover. We'll talk about a triple feature of Shopify developer updates that dropped this week, a critical Magento security patch that every store running Adobe Commerce or Magento open source needs to know about, new data on cart abandonment that should make every merchant uncomfortable, and some fascinating developments in how Core Web Vitals are directly tied to your bottom line. Let's dig in. Let's start with the biggest news of the week, which comes from Shopify. On July 21st, Shopify released three major updates to their developer platform, and taken together, they represent the most significant shift in how apps interact with Shopify stores that we've seen this year. The first update is Metafield Triggers for Events. Now, if you're running a Shopify store with any kind of custom data, and let's be honest, every serious store uses Metafields for something, this is a game changer. Previously, if your app needed to react when a specific metafield changed, say a custom material property on a product or a sourcing status, you had to subscribe to the entire product update event, receive the full payload every time anything changed on that product, and then write your own logic to diff the old and new values to figure out what actually changed. It was wasteful, it was error-prone, and it meant a lot of unnecessary processing. Now, apps can target specific metafields directly in their event subscriptions. You can say, I only care when the material metafield on products changes, or when the app-scoped sourcing status updates. When that specific change happens, your app gets a precise payload containing exactly the data it asked for. No more subscribing to every product update and hoping you can figure out what changed. This extends beyond products too. Orders, customers, collections, locations, and inventory items all support event subscriptions now. The second major update is that Shopify Analytics is becoming a full-stack platform that apps can build on. This is genuinely ambitious. Shopify has introduced the ability to mark metafield definitions as analytics queryable, which means your custom data becomes a first-class dimension in Shopify QL. Imagine running a query that shows total sales grouped by a custom campaign source metafield with a daily time series, all within Shopify's native analytics interface. No ETL pipelines, no separate data warehouse, no trying to stitch together data from three different sources. On top of that, there's a new App Events feature in early access. Apps can declare custom events in their configuration, emit them through a new API, and merchants can then query those events in Shopify QL, just like they query native store data. The Shopify QL API itself now has full schema-level reference documentation on Shopify.dev, which is important not just for developers, but for AI agents and automated toolchains that can now generate working queries programmatically. And the third update is the Liquid July 26 developer preview, which introduces two new Liquid tags that change how themes are composed. The block tag lets you render a reusable theme block directly from a template, passing inputs and body content much like you would with the render tag. The partial tag defines a named region of server-rendered HTML that JavaScript can refresh without reloading the full page. Together, they let developers compose pages in Liquid and add dynamic storefront interactions without moving rendering into a client-side framework. This is a significant architectural shift, and it comes with new theme check rules in version 3.28.0 that catch syntax errors, excessive complexity, and schema mismatches. Now, here's the angle that I find most interesting about all three of these updates, and it ties directly into what we talk about on this show every week. Each one adds a new layer of event-driven, composable behavior to an already complex stack. Metafield triggers mean your inventory sync, your personalization engine, and your loyalty program might all be reacting to the same data change in real time. App events feed into analytics dashboards that merchants rely on for business decisions. Liquid partials introduce dynamic page regions that can fail independently of the rest of the page. Every one of these is a potential failure point that traditional monitoring won't catch. A metafield trigger that fires but whose downstream app silently drops the event. Or an app event that stops emitting because of a configuration change. A partial that fails to render and shows stale pricing. These are the kinds of silent failures that bleed revenue without anyone noticing, and they're exactly why real user monitoring tools like AuditIQ exist. Let's shift gears to Magento. On July 14th, Adobe released security update APSB 2673 for Adobe Commerce and Magento open source. This is a regularly scheduled security patch, but it's an important one. The update addresses 14 vulnerabilities across critical, important, and moderate severity levels. We're talking about fixes for entry points that could compromise backend access, allow privilege escalation, or lead to data theft. The patch covers versions 2.4.6 P15, 2.4.7 P10, 2.4.8 P5, and 2.4.9, which is notable because it means even the latest 2.4.9 release, which only shipped in May with over 560 bug fixes and major infrastructure changes including PHP 8.4 support and PCI DSS4 compliance, already has security updates to apply. And here's the critical timeline that every Magento merchant needs to know. Versions 2.4.5 and 2.4.6 lose security support on August 11th, 2026. That's less than 3 weeks away. If you're still running either of those versions, this isn't just a patch to apply, it's a fire alarm to upgrade. There's an operational angle here too. Reports from the community suggest that the APSB 2673 patches didn't install cleanly with the standard patch command for some deployment configurations, particularly those that create artifacts in the build process. So if you're running a CI/CD pipeline with Magento, test this in staging first. The security fixes are essential, but a botched patch deployment on a production store is its own kind of emergency. This is a great example of why continuous monitoring matters. When you apply a security patch and redeploy your store, something can break. A payment integration, a custom module, a third-party extension that was relying on a method that got patched. AuditIQ can tell you within minutes of deployment whether the store is still functioning correctly for real users, not just whether the deployment script completed successfully. Now, let's zoom out and talk about an industry-wide number that should be on every e-commerce team's radar. The global shopping cart abandonment rate in 2026 stands at 70.22%, according to Baymard Institute's analysis of 50 studies. On mobile devices, it exceeds 85%. And perhaps the most striking thing about this number is that it hasn't meaningfully changed in over a decade. Despite billions of dollars spent on abandonment recovery emails, exit intent pop-ups, retargeting campaigns, and every flavor of checkout optimization, the rate has hovered between 69 and 71% since roughly 2014. So what's actually going on? The conventional explanation is that shoppers abandoned carts because of unexpected shipping costs, because they were just browsing, or because they're forced to create an account. And those are real factors. But there's a growing body of evidence that a significant portion of abandonment is caused by technical failures that merchants never see. Consider this data point. Payment failures affect 1 in 5 e-commerce transactions globally, contributing to an estimated $47 billion in annual revenue leakage. That's not shoppers deciding they don't want the product. That's shoppers trying to buy and being unable to complete the transaction. False declines alone, where legitimate payments are blocked by overly conservative fraud detection, are estimated to cost e-commerce merchants $81 billion annually. And then there's the performance angle. Research on core web vitals and e-commerce conversion consistently shows that every 0.1 seconds of improvement in load speed increases retail conversions by up to 8%. Improving core web vital scores can reduce bounce rates by 24% and increase conversions by 15%. The inverse is equally devastating. Smashing Magazine's analysis found that when page load moves from 1 to 3 seconds, bounce rates spike by 32%, and conversion rates typically plummet from 40% down to 29%. The metric that matters most for checkout is interaction to next paint, or INP, which replaced first input delay as a core web vital in 2024. INP measures page responsiveness across every interaction in a session, not just the first one. For an e-commerce checkout with multiple form fields, payment method selectors, address validators, and discount code inputs, poor INP means the page feels sluggish at the exact moment a customer is trying to hand you money. And here's the uncomfortable truth. Most e-commerce teams don't monitor INP on their checkout pages in production. They test in staging environments with fast networks and modern browsers. Their real users on 4G connections on older Android devices, with 20 tabs open, have a completely different experience. This gap between lab testing and real-world experience is precisely why real user monitoring exists. It's the difference between knowing your checkout works in Chrome DevTools and knowing it works for the person in Birmingham on a 3-year-old Samsung phone who's about to spend £200. Let's talk about something happening at the platform level that could help address some of these performance challenges. CSS Tricks covered the Interop 2026 initiative earlier this year, and it's worth revisiting because its implications for e-commerce performance are significant. Chrome, Safari, and Firefox are collaborating on consistent cross-browser support for a set of powerful CSS features including anchor positioning, scroll-driven animations, advanced ATR with type conversion, and container-style queries. Why does this matter for e-commerce? Because each of these features enables developers to build rich, interactive UI in CSS rather than JavaScript. Anchor positioning means you can attach tooltips, dropdowns, and product comparison pop-ups without JavaScript positioning libraries. Container-style queries let you adapt product card layouts based on their context, not just the viewport. Scroll-driven animations can power parallax effects and progress indicators without scroll event listeners that tank performance. Every feature that moves from JavaScript to CSS is a smaller bundle, fewer main thread tasks, and a better INP score. For an e-commerce site with dozens of product cards, a complex mega menu, and a multi-step checkout, the cumulative impact is meaningful. And consistent cross-browser support means you can actually use these features without worrying about Safari breaking your layout for the 20% of your customers on iPhones. Practical e-commerce published their latest roundup of new e-commerce tools on July 15th, covering services for product videos, recommerce, social marketing, local commerce, and recovery services. The broader theme in the tooling landscape is convergence. Tools that used to do one thing well are expanding into adjacent capabilities. Video tools are adding commerce features. Marketing platforms are adding analytics. Recovery services are adding monitoring. This convergence is worth watching because it reflects what merchants are telling vendors. They don't want 15 different dashboards. They want to understand what's happening on their store, why it's happening, and what to do about it, ideally in one place. The challenge, of course, is that a tool that tries to do everything often does nothing particularly well. The most effective approach we're seeing is focused tools that integrate cleanly, each one excelling at its specific domain while sharing data with the broader stack. At Dynatrace's Perform 2026 conference, they announced next-generation real user monitoring capabilities focused on unified insights across modern web architectures. It's a sign that the broader observability market recognizes that traditional server-side monitoring isn't enough anymore. The action has moved to the browser, and specifically to the customer experience layer. Let me bring this all together with a theme for the week. If I had to summarize everything we've discussed in one sentence, it would be this. The e-commerce platform layer is getting more powerful and more complex. And the gap between what teams deploy and what customers experience is getting wider. Shopify is adding event-driven architecture, composable liquid templates, and full-stack analytics. Magento is shipping security patches for versions all the way from 2.4.6 to 2.4.9. CSS is gaining features that shift rendering from JavaScript to the browser. But at the checkout, the abandonment rate hasn't moved. Payment failures still affect 1 in 5 transactions. Mobile bounce rates remain stubbornly high. The thread connecting all of this is monitoring, not server monitoring, not synthetic testing. Real continuous monitoring of the customer experience on the live site. Knowing that a meta field trigger fired is one thing. Knowing that the customer saw the right price as a result is something else entirely. Knowing that a security patch deployed successfully is one thing. Knowing that checkout still works for real users afterwards is another. This is the gap that Audit IQ exists to close. Watching the experience that your customers actually have on the devices they actually use, through the journeys they actually take. Because in e-commerce, you don't get credit for what you deployed. You get revenue for what worked. That's your Audit IQ update for July 22, 2026. If any of this sparked a question or you want to learn more about e-commerce monitoring, you can find us at auditiq.cloud. We'll be back next week. Until then, keep monitoring.